I certainly appreciate your music and your spirit. And you've been a minister to me, and I appreciate it. I'm with your mother on the music. I like the old hymns. And I pastored a church that had a robe choir, and we sang old hymns. And since I've retired over 10 years ago, I've seen all kinds of things. I was interim pastor in one of our strong churches in Nashua, New Hampshire. They have two services there. They have an early service with a band, and those are musicians that teach school, but it's a rock band. And then they have the traditional service. And to be honest with you, I enjoyed the first service better. And it's the spirit that it's important. That's the main thing, whether or not God is being glorified. And I remember one Sunday morning I preached on something about faith and believing and having faith in Jesus and believing it. Anyways, about belief. And I went through just like I always do, and I'm probably an old stuffed shirt to those people. But when I said amen, then the band, they got together and they cut loose with something out of Shrek. It was, then I saw her face and I'm a believer. And it was right. It was okay. They were praising the Lord with it. And everybody in the church just busted out laughing, but it was a holy laugh. And that's good. I'm not going to... Yes, I am. Our scripture this evening, I'm going to start out with, I've got about four scriptures in my mind. I'm not going to preach a sermon. I've got a theme I want to talk about with you. But I've been thinking about the word with, W-I-T-H, with. And let's do the 23rd Psalm. If anybody needs the 23rd Psalm, it's on page 943. And, no, I don't. You know the 23rd Psalm. And let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, let the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. When I was about the age of Jordan back there, how old are you, Jordan? 11. What grade are you in? 6. Okay, I was a little younger than you. Let's say I was 9. I was going to the Allen Street School in Lansing, Michigan. And we lived in the east end of Lansing. Not East Lansing, that's where the university is. But down near Tobacco Road, where there was dirt road. It wasn't really the end of the world, but you could see it from there. And I lived on Magnolia Street. I had some friends that lived on Magnolia Street. They're still my friends that's 60-some years ago. 70 years ago. Let's not say how long ago. But anyway, it was healthy for us if we went to school together. You know what I mean? Because the Hayford Street gang, the next people over, if they caught us by ourselves, it wasn't healthy. I've been beat up before just because I lived on Magnolia Street and they lived on Hayford Street. And so the Magnolia Street kids got together and they walked to school. Well, one day, for some reason or another, I had to stay after school. I was not my fault, but I had to stay after school. And when I came out and looked around on Kalamazoo Street there, my buddies had gone home. And I had to walk down Kalamazoo Street by myself. Well, the chances are I'd be all right. But I hadn't gone maybe a block, and I looked down and I saw about four guys from Hayford Street, the Hayford Street gang, and they were hanging all around a mailbox, their mail drop. And I knew I was going to get beat up. And my life passed before my eyes. It didn't take very long because I wasn't very old at that time. But I thought about running between the houses, you know, and over the wall, and but they'd seen me. And I was just, my mind was going a mile a minute. I didn't know what to do. And all about that time, a great big kid, probably he was 13, from junior high school, came walking along, same direction as me. And I looked over my shoulder. I didn't know him. I'd seen him before, but didn't know his name. And I said, "Hey, you see those guys up there? They're after me." "Yeah?" I said, "Can I walk with you?" He said, "Sure, I don't care." And so I just got in step with him, you know. And I walked along just like he was my best buddy. And I said, we got closer and closer. I was thinking, you know, what's going to happen? And I said, you know, the Tigers are really doing pretty good. And when we came to the Hayford Street gang, they just parted like the Red Sea. And we walked right on through. And I got down to Magnolia Street where my turn was, and I said, "Thanks a lot." And he said, "It's okay." And I ran home. I've thought about that maybe 1,000 times. It's almost become a metaphor for how there's been a big kid in my life when I've really needed him. And he's shown up. He has a way of doing that. After I got saved, well, I was saved as a kid, a little bit, I remember. But as a teenager, I was a backslider. And when I came to the Lord at 17 and met business, serious business, from that time to this, I've kept covenant with the Lord. But I remember after I got saved, the old timers in the church used to say, you need to pray through every day. And I used to see them get blessed. Sometimes they'd wave their handkerchief. Sometimes they'd run the aisle. And I knew when they were doing that, at least that my faith was, that they had a sense of the presence of God. And as a teenager, I figured, now that I'm saved, I can just do that too. And I want all of God that there is. I did. And I kept. And I remember as a 17-year-old praying hard that I could pray through. But I thought, you know, it's pretty selfish business when we first get saved. We get saved for us. And we're thinking about, you know, what can God do for me? What's he done for me lately? He's forgiven my sins. And it takes a little while to get onto the idea of what can I do for God. And babies are great. I mean, there's Malachi down there. He doesn't do very much but cry and spit up and eat, and yet everybody loves him. But he's a pain in the neck sometimes to take care of. And that's the way it is when we first come to the Lord. And yet he's so cute, you know. We love him, and we're going to keep him. I'm not going to take care of him. I'm a great grandfather. But it's that way as a little kid, as a young Christian. I told you I'm not preaching. I'm just trying to tell you about the idea. I thought that the idea of getting blessed was so that when I get through, and sometimes I felt, oh, now God's with me, then I whip out my list of what I want God to do for me. Now, Lord, do, and away went the blessing. It took me a while to get to the point where I realized that as a child of God, it's okay to be a baby for a while. But pretty soon, I've got chores to do. And when he gets old enough, you got to make him take out the garbage. And even wash the dishes or something, I don't know. And then when he gets older, I've got four grown sons now. All in their 50s, but the last one, he's 48. And they're not just my sons now, but they're my friends. And they'd do anything for me, and I'd do anything for them. I love them. And I want to tell you, grown children are better than kids. if they're your friends. If they're your friends. But anyway, I used to run to God. I remember literally going out in the woods, and I'd get down on my knees and pray, and I couldn't find him, I couldn't see him, and I'd just get up and literally run. Oh, God, where are you? Well, kept working at it. And I just want to tell you a few times when that presence has come, I don't know that it's possible to live with that witness of the Holy Spirit as a warm feeling all the time. I've been married 55 years, and I don't always feel married. There's times when I feel very warm toward my wife. Sometimes maybe hot under the collar, I don't know. But I never worry about whether I'm married or not, because I've had a covenant. But it's wonderful. It's wonderful when that sense of God's presence comes. You can't command it. If I could command it, I'd command it right now. But it's wonderful when he slips up alongside. And I was just thinking, the first time I remember, was after I was sanctified. And I as the old timers told me, take it by faith, put it all on the altar. And I did. But I was down in East Liverpool, Ohio, with my father-in-law, who was a lay preacher. And I testified that I believed that the Lord had sanctified me holy. And all of a sudden, there it was. And I knew. I can't explain it to you, not a feeling. But the assurance came. But I was thinking, on my way to Eastern Nazarene College at the age of 19, September the 3rd, 1949, first time I'd ever been away from home. My folks were glad to see me go. They got another bedroom. I thought they were sad to see me go, but I know they were just waiting to get me out of the house. But anyway, it was a two-day trip from Akron to Boston. And our Sunday school superintendent, God bless him, took a bunch of us, took his daughter and three other kids on that two-day trip in his little old Plymouth. And we had to stop at a tourist cabin near Syracuse, New York. You know, one of those little places where you have to practically back in with your pajamas on. They're so small. But the old-timers had told me you're supposed to read a verse of Scripture every day and pray every day, and I did. But I didn't know how to read the Bible. I knew Psalm 117 was a whole chapter. It was only two verses, so I did that sometime. But that night, I opened up my Bible to Isaiah 41:10. And it said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." And I said, "God knows where I am." I didn't know where I was. I'd never seen the ocean until I was 19. I'd never been away from home. And yet in that little tourist cabin, I can't explain it to you. It's not necessarily an emotion. It's deeper than an emotion. But it was the assurance God was with me. And I can't tell you how many times since then. Like I say, I wish I could command it. I sense the presence of the Lord when I preach. I sense the presence of the Lord when I worship, when we're singing. But that assurance, that presence, that coming alongside. I've been preaching maybe 10 years, and I know I was saved and sanctified. But I remember the day when God came into my study and said to me, "You are saved." I don't know what that means. I was saved before. But it was just that assurance. Maybe it was he was saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant," at that point. And we think that happens when you get to heaven. And I hope it will. Trust it will. But I just had to mention, that's a time when he came alongside. And I knew that I was saved. How does Jesus come alongside? How can we court that presence? Worst way to get rid of it, like I say, is to try and get it so that you can use it. And you can't use God. You've got to let him use you. I think my favorite story in the Bible, I was talking to your pastor, is the story about two people that were very discouraged and walking along, and they needed to have that big kid come and walk with them. And they'd seen Jesus die. And their faith had died. And they weren't where they ought to be spiritually. And as they walked along the road to Emmaus, 24th chapter of Luke, if you need to follow it in the Bible. I told you I wasn't going to get the scriptures out and preach. I'm just talking about with. Jesus came and walked alongside of them. And he was there. And their hearts were warm before they knew who he was. And what did he do? Well, he called them out, first of all. He said, "How come you're sad? How come your faces are down?" And they said, "Well, if you knew what we knew, you'd face me down too." He said, And he began with the Old Testament. And he talked about Messiah. Imagine he got to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He said, "He's bruised for our iniquity, wounded for our transgressions." And he said, later on they said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us?" As he talked with us, by the way. And they knew something was going on. And it was in the breaking of the bread that their eyes were opened. Jesus came alongside when they needed him. I think maybe next favorite story in the Bible is about Thomas. I love Thomas, Doubting Thomas, because he's me. He's from Missouri. And you have to, he said, "No, I won't believe unless I can see." And Jesus, there in the 20th chapter of John, if you want to look that up, I know what number it's in your Bible. But he came and he satisfied Thomas. And he said, "Here I am." But then he said a whole lot more. He said, "Thomas, I was able to come and show you my hands and my feet. And blessed are you. But blessed are those people in Clinton, Illinois, that have never seen me. And they believe because of the word and because of the spirit. Blessed are they." And he comes alongside us. Jesus comes alongside as we talk about him, or as we seek to do his will, as we want him more than we want anything else. The name of Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And that big kid is still coming alongside me when I need him. My cousin Dick was my best man at my wedding 55 years ago. And tomorrow in Lansing, he's having a funeral of his wife of 58 years. He's a Baptist. He's not sanctified like we are. But you know, he gave himself to the Lord beyond. We've got great doctrines, folks. It's good doctrine. But beyond the words and behind our best understanding, when a person gives himself to God, God gives himself to them. And I talked to Dick tonight on the telephone. And he's rejoicing. God is with us. I wish I could be up there. I would have been there if I hadn't promised David I'd come out here to preach this weekend. And I talked to Dick, and he said, "No," he says, "you go out there and do the Lord's work, and I'll come down later on to Mount Vernon and visit you." So anyway, what I'm saying is, here's Dick. Darkest time of his life, humanly speaking. But that big kid, it's not like he said, "Sure, you can walk with me, I don't care." He says, "I will walk with you. I'll be with you. I'm with you right now." I don't know what you're going through right now. How do you need him? I do know you do need him. And I need him. We need him when we understand it. And as we look back across our life, if we're walking with him, if he could show us, we've been walking through minefields. And he's led us around this one and through that one. And he's been with us in the valley. And that's what I'm concerned about this evening. How real is Jesus to you? We have to walk by faith. But he said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who know me and who trust me and who walk with me." And he reveals himself to us as we talk about him, as we seek to do his will. I think the theme that I've had in my mind for this whole week has been to live our lives as a sacrament. so that we are the body of Christ that this world needs so very much. And I've said it before, but I repeat it again. I don't know the people around here in Clinton, but they're dying for love. And the body of Christ can give it to them. And you are the body of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. And the Lord is with us when we need Him. I thought about a song to sing at the end, and I thought I'd sing a solo for you, but I guess I won't. But I thought maybe we just, I was going to sing that song. Sometimes when my faith would falter and no sunlight I could see, I just turned my eyes to Jesus. I whispered, "Pilot me," and the chorus goes, "Fear thou not, for I am with you. I will still your pilot be. Never mind the tossing billows, take my hand and trust in me." But maybe the way to close would be through that 23rd Psalm again and remember what that word "with." He's with us. Praise the Lord. I haven't had altar calls. It's supposed to be revival. But you know, I got to thinking, if you need the Lord, you come, we'll pray for you. But I'm talking now about babies growing up. You're not babies. But about what can we do for Him? How can we live for Him? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I would forget that one phrase. My wife likes that the best. We spent some time at Pulpit Exchange in Scotland, and the Scottish way that they say it, and they get that, "My cup is teeming full." You're dismissed. God bless you.